It is Saturday, the 1st of February, and this is episode 195 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another episode. I'm Chris, joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good morning, Christopher.
Oh, yeah. We're early morning. Rock on. We should be awake and ready to go. Just discovered Ian doesn't know Pinch Punch Verse of the Month, which
never heard of it.
Yeah. How weird.
I think it must be some sort of Cockney thing that you do.
Pinch and Punch Verse of the Month.
All right, Governor.
All right, Governor. Oh, dear. Right, let's rock on with some news then, shall we? Let's start with Facebook, because they are, well, long rumoured they've been going to be putting out a kind of newspaper-style application, and it looks like that's coming now, February 3rd, so only a couple of days away.
Yes.
And this is almost, if you imagine kind of Flipbook, that kind of style of, you know, scrolling through news and stories and pictures, but using the Facebook feed. But most importantly, having human editors choosing content.
So it's clearly, and as you said, they've been talking about, you know, a shot across Flipboard's bows for some time, and they did take on a lot of design talent. So the guy kind of behind this is a chap called Mike Mattis, who worked at Apple, and you remember, was it Push Pop Press? Remember he did that Bill, not Bill Gates, who was the other one? Bill Clinton? Was it Bill Clinton? No, Al Gore. He did a book with Al Gore. It was all very interactive and lots of animation.
That's right. That was ages ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. So his company was basically bought. Basically, it was a talent acquisition by Facebook. He's behind all this. So it's very visual. And a lot of people are saying, like, this is going to be the front end to Facebook that you'll want on a mobile.
It's kind of Facebook saying, look, we've got all this content. What can we do with it? You know, other than streams, what can we do with it? Well, the next stage was them saying, right, we've actually got some legit news sources here that people are putting content into their pages on Facebook. So let's now aggregate it into a kind of newspapery style thing, because that's what we can do. We can deliver up that news. I think news providers might, you know, I guess they've had to do a lot of talking to these guys, because it's a bit like, streaming services that you're allowed to view through your through a website, but not when it's on your TV in your lounge, because then the TV companies get upset. So this is almost like, we're happy to put news onto our news page on Facebook, but if you're going to start using that to sort of replicate what we do, which is make newspapers and make, you know, distribute out news, I'm not happy about that anymore. And I think we might see some of that.
And it's, well, remember Flipboard right at the start, because I think most of Flipboard's content was basically
scraped,
them.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was either scraped or it was just picking up RSS feeds, but it was presenting it almost as their own. Mm. And I think a lot of companies were like, hold on, you know, we want people to come to our site for our adverts that we've put in place. And I think they have done content deals in the background. And Flipboard, more and more, is becoming a bit of a, you know, the only option, not the only option on iPad and Android, but it is the number one. You know, there was other, I can't even remember the other one's names. Remember, there was a whole plethora of those kind of magazine style front end apps.
Well, Google even did one similar idea, didn't they?
Yeah. And it
Flow
it
or something like that, it was called.
Yeah. But it's, Flipboard is the kind of one that's won out.
Yeah, I have to say though, Flipboard's not on my daily iPad commute.
I've got to be honest, I'm still a bit of Luddite, still RSS for me, still.
Okay, that's because that has totally slipped off my radar now. You know, I never went into one of those new options that's, you know, since Reader went, so that's kind of gone. But there you go.
No, Flipboard's just every so often I'll drop in and catch up in some of the topics I don't follow on RSS, you know, maybe just that are not as popular, like quadcopters. I find I go into Flipboard and catch up in there.
Yeah, the latest bits and bobs on that. Yeah.
So
it's going to be available in America, in the US, February 3rd. So there's no sort of saying whether we're going to get it, although the video that they've put out just says generally available from February 3rd. But then they normally do rollouts on these things, don't they?
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it seemed a bit odd that they were specifically saying. I don't know if it's just scale. You know, are they worried about, because they've talked about those editors, you know, pushing forward content. I guess a lot of it's going to be US focused. So maybe they're looking at having editorial teams across different regions before.
Which would make more sense, to be honest.
Yeah, but I will log in with my American account and take a look.
Take an early look. Financials, the story that never goes away. So who's been doing well, who's been doing badly? We've had a lot of, there's five announcements basically just recently come out, including Microsoft, who have done rather better than previously.
So this is just a quarter. It just, it boggles just the amount of money in a quarter that gets done. So it's $24.5 billion in a quarter, which is a record revenue for their second quarter. You know, so they've got a $6.5 billion profit. But then again, and even though Xbox is selling well, you know, so Xbox One's selling well, not as well as the PS4, but still a really good start compared to previous generations. But still, analysts said, struggling Microsoft.
Yeah, I know. It's mad, isn't it? It's all relative. Samsung, they've had a drop, basically, in their profits. So they're down 11%, basically, but they're still, you know, $6.8 billion, which is, you know, it wasn't that long ago, I'm sure, that would have solved world poverty. Anyway, did have a revelation on the train travelling back from Bath yesterday. Unbelievable number of Samsung handsets. You know, with a day, you know, when it was only Apple and there were hundreds of Apple iPhones in a carriage. Now it's nearly all Samsungs and you get the occasional Apple sat there. A tide has been tipped.
I wish it actually, I don't know where I've saved it. I've saved it somewhere. And it was a web post recently. It was just showing you all the different screen sizes that Samsung currently
yeah,
has.
And
it was up at about 50 different screen sizes. It's crazy.
But I have to say also, recently, I've been noticing that applications for Android have become much more rounded and properly developed rather than sort of afterthoughts.
Yeah.
I think that the tipping point is coming, and I imagine that the revenue will follow. But yeah, you still see the iPhones there, but I was just blown away by how many more Samsungs. But anyway, their profits are slightly down, but we will come back. Well, we'll talk about Samsung a bit more in a minute. So Apple is just ridiculous.
So I mean, this is
nearly $60 billion revenue.
Yeah, and I mean, so you know, profit is $13 billion, and I mean, 51 million iPhones in a quarter in 3 months, which is ridiculous. iPads again strong, but it's no surprise because I mean, and this is the, I guess this is where it's misleading me all this, because Samsung, it's a fairly quiet time for them because obviously they're, I think it's, is it sort of like April, May, June is when their new Galaxy kind of comes out, and that's when their stronger quarter is. Whereas Apple's, you know, from an iPhone perspective, an iPad is that holiday season one. But interestingly, Macs, you know, so Macs saw a bit of resurgence, you know, so almost 5 million Macs. Which was,
and it's when you compare it to other PC sales, that's when it really jumps out at you. You know, they're increasing their sales, and PCs are definitely out.
But again, analysts not very good. And the interesting one I get was the Telegraph was one that showed that growth's flat. So that and they're looking for another iPad. They're looking for the next thing. You know, so
and
iPhone
needs to find a new region and area, don't they, to go into.
iPhone really kicked up for Apple, and then iPad really kicked up for Apple, but they're looking for this next thing, and everybody's looking for wearables being it. And
but why do they keep needing growth when they're making that much money just on the flat?
I know.
Yeah, never mind. So we can spend the money elsewhere. Google also put out their figures. Basically, they're getting $3.3 billion is profit, moving around $16 billion, $17 billion in cash.
Which was up. Yep, I think the ad revenue is slightly down, or I think I can't remember how they measure the kind of, is it the unit per click or something like that, or ad
for a company that does very little other than give things away for free. They make an awful lot of money.
They do.
Yeah, and Amazon, they're kind of in the millions. How very disappointed. $239 million dollars, revenue of $25 billion. So they're chucking around a lot of money, but you know, pun them high, sell them cheap. So they're making money, but not in the same kind of arena as the technical people.
No, and bizarrely, their revenues were much the same before, because I think previous ones have made, you know, their turnover's been good, but they actually made losses, and the share prices still went up, which seems bizarre. But this time they got hammered, because analysts were looking for a lot more, so they dropped 10% just in this one announcement.
it's fair and fair, but when you're in the arena, Amazon are behind an awful lot of the technology out there nowadays, and they have got it right as far as they work on a kind of API and services based thing, which you know is, as much as they're not making, you know, horrendous amounts of money at the moment, I think there is a lot of investment going on there.
No, there is, and they're undercutting the other cloud providers constantly.
It's a moving target as well. Every week you get an next announcement, the new feature, and then, you know,
it's a new feature, and then it's like there's AWS dropped again, and then Google are having to respond, and Rackspace are having to respond, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And I guess the other kind of interesting story bubbling around is around about Microsoft. So seemingly they're very close to picking their next CEO and all sorts of shenanigans around that. So that will be interesting.
And what a surprise, they've had a good, you know, a good quarter report. You know, it's amazing what figures you can move around from one quarter to another just to keep you know, things ticking along. It could be that they have a particularly bad next quarter. Let's watch out for that one. So Samsung, I said we're going to come back to them. They're now going down the store route. We saw them, I think it was sort of last year, they opened up some stores in Spain. And this is very much along the lines of, you know, like an Apple store type idea. And they've hooked up with Carphone Warehouse to do this in the UK and Ireland. So some of them are going to be new shops. Some of them are going to be reconditioned Carphone Warehouse stores. But it seems like Carphone Warehouse has also seen the plethora of Samsung handsets and realise that they can, you know, it's good for them. They don't have to be so generic.
No, absolutely. I'm surprised they've not done it sooner, because Samsung had a pop-up store in London last year, which seemingly was very successful. It was only open for like 5 or 10 days. And Microsoft obviously have copied the Apple store kind of route in America, but they don't have the range of products that Samsung does. You know, Samsung, you can walk in and you could buy anything from them.
Yeah, it'd be a very different thing.
You know, because you're going to have handsets, you're going to have tablets, you're going to have computers, you're going to have...
The salespeople are going to have such a big task in there. Yep. Right, this is the 10.1, but it's the new 10.1 rather than the old 10.1. Here's the old 10.1. They're about the same, but they, you know, they're different.
It'll be interesting to see if they actually just focus on certain lines rather than...
They've got so many options, they could do whatever they like, but they do cover every single... They'd be silly not to just push their latest products, wouldn't they? So,
yep.
But in other Samsung news, they've hooked up with Google, basically, and they've signed a 10-year agreement that they will not go after each other with their sort of patent stacks. So that's good.
That is good. Death to patents.
And I think we'll see these other agreements, but that's two massive stacks sat there together on the Android side now, which puts them in a nice powerful position rather than that kind of fragmented position.
Certainly, because Samsung were far and away the biggest sellers of Android devices, as your train survey has proven. And it's
highly high quality.
Yep. Yeah. but the interesting bit is they're also saying they're going to dial back on that because their front end fragmentation was like massive.
We talked about that for the last few weeks, haven't we? It looks dangerous for Google, actually.
Yep. Because like the Galaxy 4, was it Galaxy 4 was last year? Was it the 4? Was it 3? It doesn't matter. I think it's the 4. And when it had those crazy kind of like, you know, all massive amount of front end options and also get back to a simple mode, but still both were very much Samsung and not Android.
Yep.
So this is...
Yes, and that kind of got bundled with this latest agreement, didn't it? That we're also going to take off some of our fluffware and go back to core Google, I've said it before, the core Google experience is now very polished, and it's a good experience now. So putting these extra things on the front, it does just confuse things. I guess they wanted to differentiate themselves, and it's done them very well. They have done a good job at differentiating themselves from all the other Android handsets out there. People talk.
No, they have.
Getting a Samsung, don't they?
We slag off the cheesy presentations, but they do manage to get the, I don't know, the health bit out there, and you know, I can take, you know, 10 different ways of taking a photo that, you know, normal people can't do, Samsung.
Yeah. If everyone was like Apple, the world would be a bit boring. You need weirdos. Lenovo, they're going to buy Motorola Mobility. So Google snapped up the whole of Motorola. When was it? 2011. You're joking. That's ages ago. And so they paid a lot of money for it, and they chopped Motorola up into sort of the hardware side of things, the sort of technology side of things, and then a few other little bits and bobs, basically. But they're now going on to sell off Mobility, and say Lenovo wants to buy them, and it's probably in the region of $3 billion.
So this came out of nowhere. This came out of middle of the week. I can't remember if it was Tuesday night, Wednesday night. I was just sitting there, and then it was like, you know, it was Wednesday night. It was like, you know, I think it was The Verge. There was a tweet from The Verge just saying, we're hearing that this is happening. And it just sounded like, no way, that's crazy. When you think all the Moto stuff that happened last year, and there was the new phones from Motorola looked really, really smart. And it just seemed like a total about change for Google.
Well, but they clearly didn't. They got what they wanted, which is a patent stack and some acquisition of talent.
So they've got the patents, which seemingly are quite important, even though they've failed to win them any money so far. But they've got obviously 10,000 patents or whatever. They sold the set top business for $2 billion. I think that was about a year, 18 months ago. And they now sold this off to Lenovo. And what also came out, and I guess it took a day or two to come out, was a confirmation that the Nest team, they've not just bought Nest, so they've got some fancy thermostats. That is going to become Google's core hardware group. Mm. So the guy behind the iPod and obviously has a clear vision of what he wants to do is taking his 300-strong group, and that is now going to be the core of Google's hardware group. So all these different announcements all start to make a bit more sense. You know, the strengthening of, you know, ties with Samsung, you know, and I kind of... Let's get back to a core Android. Let's punt Motorola. We've bought Nest.
The fact that they never integrated Motorola fully into Google kind of said that it was all supposed to be on the side, and it was almost left there to be used to be sold on again. Effectively, I mean they kind of spun it a different way at the time, which was, you know, they're good at what they do. We don't want them in here. But yeah, it's. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, I think they've come out with a very strong position of that, and who knows behind the scenes what's moved around. Just because, you know, this division has been sold doesn't, you know, people might have been leached all over the place. You never know. Anyway, in other Google news, they have bought a DeepMind, an artificial intelligence startup in the UK. £400 million, which is one of the biggest European acquisitions they've made. And basically... We're all doomed. They've now got the most freaky robots, and those freaky robots are going to have like the most intelligent brains.
I'm putting two and two together again.
The Skynet. It does. What are they? What do they want to do with all this? They must have this vision, because they wouldn't. These things are, you know, are linked and tied in, surely. They must have some sort of weird vision.
They've kind of been open with their automated driving, you know, and all that kind of stuff before. So they've been open about that and how they want to take that forward. But I mean, is it Andy Rubin was the guy behind Android, and he's the guy kind of now pulling the strings with all these different autonomous and robotic companies that they've bought. Because I think they've bought five or six, with the biggest one being that Boston Dynamics.
They say they've just got this. They've got these visions, haven't they? Basically, they've got some vision that they're working towards, and it is going to involve automation and all this self drive and stuff. So I can't wait to hear what they're going to tell us.
And the closest I'm thinking is, it's like, are they the company that wants to be, you know, like the firm in iRobot? And it was like a big, massive firm behind all these robots.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. All these things flying around, and, you know, come and have a look at, check up on you in.
And it's like, we'll come and help you. We'll be your slave. We'll be your butler.
Yeah.
Don't need to do shopping anymore. I'll go and do it for you.
Yeah. So many of the future sort of vision films that come out nowadays have all those kind of robots and stuff doing all this stuff. I know it's always been like that, but it kind of now becomes a bit step closer, doesn't it? It's like, ooh, okay.
And the thing is,
it's always a bit sinister as well.
Yeah.
It's never nice.
No, exactly. And I think this is why there's a whiff about Google, because just some of the purchases are like, if you look at all our sci-fi films,
yes, the pieces
are all there now, and it's all right saying don't be evil, but what if they are?
You can see that there's a Dr. Evil in the background in Google going, we shall have a tagline which is don't be evil. That will fool them.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent.
And we'll do all these phone releases. We'll call it after food, because it makes it dead friendly.
But really,
really, it's like the last one's going to be the poison pill.
Yes. Google have also brought out Chrome apps for Android and iOS. So Chrome apps obviously working on desktop and have been for ages now. But now they're allowing you to put them together and effectively distribute them via the App Store and, you know, wherever you want, basically. So as a developer, you can build an HTML, CSS, JavaScript application, but it'll get packaged up so that it can just run independently of the browser, and it doesn't even need to be online, I think. So basically, it has a few extra APIs that a browser would never have for sandboxing reasons. And there you go. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, very clever.
Last people who tried this, though, Apple didn't like it at all.
No.
They said it was like an app store within an app store.
And it seemed to be... And I guess the two things is there seemed to be no comment from Apple about it whatsoever.
Surprise,
but also,
surprise.
This seems to be that you can run these apps, but you still have to submit it to Apple's App Store. That's not trying to do their own App Store.
So they're all independent things. It's not like you're downloading the one container. Yeah.
But then... And I don't know how it'll fly. It wouldn't surprise me if Apple get very, very scruffy about, you know.
It's just not using our APIs. It's not using this, that, the other. But the thing is, you can see more and more recently. We've talked, you know, recently about how impressive websites are becoming, and especially ones, you know, using Chrome experiments and stuff like that. Have you seen the Lego Builder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually going to put it as a pick, but I remembered we'd done it a couple of years ago. It's kind of Australian site had done it, and that's them now bringing it back, and it's a bit more polished, and it is lovely.
Yeah. It is very polished.
Yeah.
And it's, again, very impressive what you can do in a browser. And they're saying, well, this is good enough to release as an app. And why wouldn't you? Why, you've built all your stuff in HTML, CSS, and JavaScript for your website. Just we're now giving you the most easy way of making that into an application that people can download, so you don't have to sort of support two environments.
And I think even for the enterprise, you know, kind of customers, this could be a good option. You know, so rather than having to support multiple different platforms,
exactly. This is what,
write it once.
Yeah, I mean this exactly. And this is what I said ages ago, that really the future of apps is not, well, the future of mobile is not apps, it is inside of your browser, basically. But this is just sort of an intermediate step towards that.
Google, I've said it before and I'll say it again, god damn it, Chris, you're right.
Always forget about the hundreds of millions of things that I say that are wrong. But occasionally I say the right ones. SkyDrive is no more, OneDrive takes over. Basically, Microsoft had the dispute with BSkyB about the name Sky and the fact that BSkyB believe that they now own anything that's got Sky in it. You can't talk about the weather anymore.
Nope.
So, you know, SkyDrive, they successfully argued that that was an infringement on their trademark to the word Sky. How did they trademark Sky? I think I said that at the time. How the hell? Anyway, so now Microsoft sort of backed down a bit and said, right, okay, I won't fight this. We'll give us 6 months and we'll change it to something else. And they've chosen OneDrive.
Yes. The one place for everything in your life.
Boom, boom. Yeah, anyway, there we go. So if you were a SkyDrive customer, in fact, everyone was, that's Microsoft, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a bit like Google Plus.
Highly used. Keeping on Microsoft, so Windows 8.1, they're working on their latest update, and the rumours are that now, or rather the latest release of it, has got rid of the Metro interface by default, so it now just boots into the desktop. We are back to Windows 7.
Exactly. What a mess. What an absolute mess. And the amount of money they've spent pushing that Metro front end, and 8.1 came out, and the bizarre thing is, I think they're talking about that it's out in March, you know, so it's not far away. And it's like the latest beta come out, and by default, it boots straight to the normal desktop rather than that front end.
And I think that's all we need, to be honest. And then it'd probably be a much more reasonable operating system.
Yeah, but it's crazy.
And shock horror, they're saying this is an update which will help people that are working with mouse and keyboard. Yeah, well, hey.
Exactly. You know, so like 90%.
Like most people then.
Yeah, 90% of your customer base.
Yeah.
I still don't know if it was a... I still don't know if it was a push to try and get, you know, we're in cahoots with a lot of PC manufacturers, and like this was the one thing that was going to push everybody onto new hardware, going by touchscreen devices.
I saw someone on the train. using their, I'm not sure what it was. It was one sort of, one of the surfaces, I think. And
did you not just think, oh, bless?
Well, there was a moment of success every time he got something done. Yeah, it worked. yeah, it looked very colourful. Let's put it that way. So, NSA, those naughty rascals, they're infiltrating your applications now as well. So apparently they scour Angry Birds. I mean, Angry Birds has probably been brought out as the title thing. I imagine they do it everywhere. But yeah, apparently they can look at the Angry Birds and they can scrape a lot of information about you, your handset, your, you know, your gender, your location. And with all without your consent. And GCHQ in the UK are also using this.
Yeah.
The data.
And this is a bit like the, remember all the hardware companies, not the hardware, but the big internet companies turned around, you know, so your Facebooks, Googles, yeah. Apples, et cetera, all said, we don't allow this. This isn't happening. Even though they've got, you know, all the PowerPoint presentations. And Rovio have done the same. Rovio are saying, this isn't, we're not doing this. But what they reckon it is leaky third-party advertising.
Right.
Kind of apps running in the background. Because you think you're just running that particular app.
But now they're putting APIs.
If you've got the free version, you've got adverts in there, and some of them are quite leaky. And they reckon that's where they're getting a lot of the information for.
So they put in an advertising of some sort and they get the bit of code through. Yeah, it's clever. Clever stuff. There you go.
Best bit about it was the names behind these programs. One of them called Nosy Smurf.
Yes. Hey, that's fun, isn't it? Wee.
Yeah.
We're just being nosy. Yeah. The UK government has come out and said that it's hoping to tackle wrongly blocked websites from their filter program.
This is so much cock. This really annoyed me this week. You knew I was going to get annoyed about this. Because I'm in a particular foul kind of grumpy mood this morning. So Claire Perry. Is it Claire Perry? I've said that and it sounds wrong. Is it? It is. Because her horrible face has popped up on my screen. So Claire Perry, she's got a face like a dog. So she's the minister behind all the kind of, you know, we need to kind of ban everybody and we need to protect our kids.
Save the kids and block all these other things that go along with it.
So when the filtering came in, you know, just before Christmas, she basically went quiet and everybody's saying, hold on, look, you know, there's this, you know, there's this, you know, gay and lesbian blog, there's this help for kids, there's Samaritans, there's all these different sites getting blocked and she's just ignored them. So this week, I knew something was up because on Monday she came out and says, stuff and nonsense. You know, there's been a trivial amount of blocking. It's all very successful, and it's all really, really good. And it was like there's been hundreds and hundreds of sites that have been wrongly blocked.
It doesn't matter that 10,000 sites got through. If you're one of those 10 sites running that and you've got a revenue stream off of it, it's ridiculous. Not even a revenue stream or a service stream.
Yep, and we said at the time, this idea of blacklisting, it doesn't work. The internet is too big to blacklist. You know, or whitelist.
And yeah, they're talking now about whitelisting, which just imagine the manpower, the money, the expense that goes into trying to manually then vet these sites and repeatedly. You've got, you know, once you've got on a whitelist, you've got to keep it up to date, and you cannot possibly index. So basically, this is saying the default for websites now is block, and you have to request an unblock, and it's ugly.
And this is So yeah, they're wanting to do a whitelist. They're also looking at ways that somebody could say, I've been wrongly blocked. And it's like, this is obvious stuff. And the bit I don't like, get it out there in the public. You know, put it, and I bet you it won't be, but put it out there what you're blocking and what you're not. Because this was the fear that everybody had. This is going to get used for...
because we've already seen this. There's torrent sites have been blocked, copyright sites, you know, supposedly infringing copyright rights have been... blocked, all those kind of things that have just been put in by the sidelines. It's an ugly situation. And like I say, we moan that Iran and Egypt because they block people, China because they block everyone from things. Well, what's the difference between what they're doing and what we're doing?
There's no difference at all.
So frustrating.
And the ISP Association, who have always been kind of against it, but they're having to be very careful about how they kind of speak now. There's a growing realization that filters are not perfect and will lead to some overblocking. Hey, there's a feeling that some sites sit in a grey area and more needs to be done for them.
Put fluffy kittens on the front page and tell them it's whatever. It's just frustrating. And government websites, they're cropping up. It was a little while back that they decided they what was the point of having a billion, million, billion websites? It was a silly number, wasn't it? I can't remember how many thousands and thousands of websites they had. They decided they should, you know, compress it all down into one central place, and that was going to be .gov, basically. And they did quite a good job of that, and actually .gov won a lot of awards, and it offered a lot of services. But they are now finding, I'm guessing, as all things when you consolidate down, you become much less flexible. And so I'm sure lots of agencies are thinking, well, we could do this right now if we didn't have to go through this hoop jumping exercise to get on the main website. So their websites pop up and they're having to kill them all off.
And I'd love what the, so this is this was Sprint 2014. So this is the government digital service, and this was their every 200 days they do another sprint, and they kind of stand up and say, this is what we've done, this is what we're doing. You know, kind of typical agile type thing, but they make a big show about it. It's all out in the public. And I just loved the kind of words they were using. You know, it was like, you know, it's a nightmarish game of Splat the Rat, because even though they think they're in control and they are, it's just so much, the government's got so many, you know, so much tentacles and so many people that can actually say, let's go and employ that agency to stand up that website and using just this format. Yeah. I don't care about standards.
Yeah.
That was one part of the story. The more interesting one was further down, and that they're actually looking to stop what they've called the oligopoly of large IT contracts. I'm amazed I said that.
Yeah, well done.
such as Microsoft. So they're looking at bringing in standards that enforce and encourage using open document format. You know, so Open Office and Google Docs become viable alternatives rather than just being seen as...
Even though Open Office was owned by a pretty big IT firm now, and Google Docs is owned by
absolutely. You know.
But at least it's an open format, yeah.
But there's two things. There's one part of it which is open format, but secondly, it's a licensing cost. The licensing costs for Microsoft are still astronomical compared to Google Docs. And when you look at some of the collaboration you can do in Google Docs compared to what you can't do still in Microsoft Office, I should probably bite my tongue, but it tears my hair out sometimes. It's just what I can't do in the workplace, and like I can sit and collaborate with you right now.
Yeah,
is amazing the kind of step change that has to happen.
Yeah, and you know that's a massive thing. If you know government do push through with this, I think they'll find it a lot harder than you know it is on paper to actually get that through. Too many tie-ins there going on. Anyway, it's either that or someone's just been sacked off one of the boards of the big companies, and so therefore they're having a bit of a backlash.
I think it's just back to GDS are trying to make IT cheaper. They try to do it differently. They try to bring a lot of agile, you know, into a big behemoth of a company. One of the videos we put up recently was just how they're all tied in with you know, with certain vendors for tech, and they just brought in loads of different tech devices and just said, you know, if we had access to this, it would really revolutionize how we can deliver. And then part of that is bring your own device and all the other things, but step change required.
Mac, 30 years old.
Bless.
Oh, quite a big milestone.
It is. And Apple, I was surprised Apple actually celebrated it, you know, because if you think the last few years, it's been, you know, lots of people worried about Mac as if it's going to disappear and everything was just going to be iOS and dumbed down and you know, everything locked away. But
you can be sure that one day Mac will disappear. Just like you can be sure that everything disappears eventually.
Yeah, it was interesting, but this was the kind of, I mean, in the 25th anniversary, and I mean, who knows if it would still be the same. But Steve Jobs was asked, you know, you're going to do anything to celebrate? He went, no, don't look back, we only look forward. Mm-hmm. But the kind of Apple of today was very different. So they actually made a big show of it. Lovely website, so apple.com/30-years. You know, all the different Macs that have come out with a nice, you know, story, video about it, whole thing. Really lots of love. And even the Apple execs themselves saying, you know, we don't envision a future without a Mac. You know, we can't see that at the moment.
Yeah, it's amazing how things change.
No, absolutely. But it was just nice. It was actually nice to see.
You almost don't want your execs to say things like that
but it was nice. It was nice just to spot my devices in amongst all that timeline and how late I was to the party.
And most tech companies celebrate their first birthday like they've been around forever. So the fact that you've been around 30 years shows, you know they're part of everybody's life. You know.
And there was some really good blog posts from some, you know, Stephen Fry put up a post about how he was the second guy in the UK to buy a Mac.
Yes.
And just there was lots of different stories from you know, a lot of Apple writers as well, and just how much hasn't changed. You know, so despite it being 30 years, you know, you've still got your shortcuts are still the same. You know, your command button's still the same, and you know, if you look at the way they do the menu, you know, for everything that's changing, there's still a lot there that's locked in and constant.
Exactly. Good for them. And go and have a look at the website because it is very attractive. It's worth looking at.
It is.
That's the end of the news, and I haven't got a pick today, and Ian hasn't got a pick today, so that is the end of the podcast. Whoop-de-doo. Obviously, if you want to find out more about us and everything that we do or don't do, you can do at digitaloutbox.com. You can email us info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as Cheesy UK. Ian, where can we find out about you?
My blog is iand.net and my Twitter is Shweepa.
Shweepa. Alrighty. Speak to you next week at some point. Yeah, it is next week still. We are just in the right week. So speak to you then. See you. Bye.
Goodbye. You know, considering I'm full of drugs and considering you're full of alcohol, that wasn't too bad.
They'd never have known other than my octave difference.
Yeah, you have dropped.
Hi. Barry White.